98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
And these are the top stories of the day on today's 4 o'clock reset. That's why you come here at 4 o'clock every day to see what's going on and find out what we think about. And according to multiple reports, University of Arizona will hire Gonzaga assistant coach Tommy Lloyd to be their new head coach. Jeff Goodman from Stadium last week thinks that Tommy Lloyd is ready for a head coaching job.
Everybody's talking about Tommy Lloyd, and Tommy's incredible what he's been able to do at Gonzaga, recruiting for Mark Few. Overseas transfers, you know, he got Nembhard this year. He's gotten so many good overseas players over the years. He's ready. He's ready for a job.
He was the coach in waiting at Gonzaga and got tired of waiting for Mark Few to not be the coach at Gonzaga. So now he's the coach of U of A.
Yes, and, you know, one of the top assistants out there. They did not hire a sitting coach. They didn't go the NBA route. They went with one of the best assistant coaches out there. Now we'll see if Tommy Lloyd can recruit to Arizona. I mean, he knows international very well, and he's had a lot of good players at Gonzaga. So he knows how to recruit the best players in the country. They're going after the 4- and 5-star recruits. They're the 4-star recruits. They're going after the best guys at Gonzaga. He's going to have to do the same thing at U of A.
Yep, and we'll see how the U of A alum, and in particular the players, feel about this one, because they had made, some of them had made their opinions pretty widely known. They wanted a former U of A Wildcat to get the job, and that is not Tommy Lloyd. So we'll see. According to reports, he's set to be introduced early next week. The details are out on James Conner's contract with the Arizona Cardinals. And it is, as we would expect, for not a lot of money. According to reports, the deal is $1.75 million, a $500,000 signing bonus, under $2 million to get James Conner in here. Exactly. What we expected.
Yeah, they were not. They're done spending money. There's no money, right? There's no money. So, you know, this is very much minimum money for James Conner. And, you know, you've got to save money for injured players, for the reserve fund, and you have to have the draft money. So there is really no money left to go sign anybody of value.
And as James told Duggan Wolf this morning, the way he sees it, he's betting on himself.
This opportunity, I'm definitely betting on myself. Absolutely. You know, one year deal. And, you know, just get opportunity to play. And I definitely was talking with the coaches and whatnot. And like I said yesterday, it seemed like they believed in me. So I'm definitely betting on myself.
The draft is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Round one is coming up on April 29th. We're not that far away.
It'll be interesting to start going over the possibilities of what the Cardinals could do. Did they go corner? Did they go wide receiver? Did they go offensive line? Still a lot of possibilities right now at 16.
The Coyotes lost their fifth straight game today, falling to the Minnesota Wild 5-2 in a game that was kind of rescheduled due to the curfew in the Minneapolis area. They are now 1 point behind St. Louis for the final playoff spot in the West Division. The Blues have played 3 fewer games than the Yotes. Here's Rick Tocchet post-game today.
The PK, they were 3-for-3. 5-on-5, I thought we were pretty good. It's just, you know, obviously, they just score more, but I think the PK hurt us. Same thing in Colorado. We got to put a plug in that couple of mistakes, and it's in our net.
Reading from the Twitter account of Craig Morgan, probably stating the obvious here, but I asked Alex Goligoski if the Blues game on Saturday is now a must-win. Quote, yeah, for sure. Close quote.
Yeah, well,
it's getting
dicey. Listen, the setback for Darcy Kemper, him not being ready right now, is just killing this team. Aiden Hill, you know, he's a third-string goalie. He can only do so much. Ronta came back today, and he's terrible. He's just awful. And they got to pay him $4-point-something million still. So they just, without Darcy Kemper, they're really bringing a knife to a gunfight is what they're doing. And a Dave Burns term right there, bringing a knife to a gunfight without Kemper.
Yep, and Saturday is the day it really could all kind of come to a close for them if they're not able to do something pretty significant then. And then finally, the TPC Scottsdale and DraftKings have announced a joint venture that will bring a sports book to the Scottsdale Golf Resort based off of the law that we're, I believe, still waiting on Governor Doug Ducey to sign, but it was one that he basically put together. The bill will allow betting on pro and college sports at sites owned by pro sports teams and tribal casinos. So if you're going to a Cardinals game...
Wait, you could bet when you're at the game?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Like you, that. Oh. There'll be limited places that you can bet on games. Tribal casinos and the arenas are just outside the arenas. There's also an online element to this. But yeah, that's.
It's going to keep more fans at the game.
That's where we're headed.
If you bet on the Diamondbacks to win and it's 4-3, you're not going to leave in the sixth inning.
I'm telling you.
You're going to stay. And then when a guy blows the save, you're going to lose your mind. Dangerous to me.
Well, I mean, it's.
Imagine that, Jordan. Think about that. Like, you got money on the game. You bet on the D-backs to win. They're up 4-3. It gets to the ninth. You've stayed. And a closer comes in and blows the game.
No offense, but who in their right mind is betting on the D-backs right now?
Oh, gosh. That hurt my feelings, man.
Ouch, I love the D-backs.
I know, but what
he I do, too. But I wouldn't want to. I don't want to waste my money right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's the deal. You can bet on these events.
Let that beer flow at the stadium, arena.
They're going to make so much money doing this. Oh, they're going to make so. Cha-ching. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Well, I think it gives people a. You go to the game and like $10 on a, $20 on a souvenir, or $20 on the game. I'll bet $20 on the game.
I'd rather have $20 on the game with a chance to win money.
If I win, I'll buy the souvenir on the way out.
Exactly.
If I lose, I don't get the souvenir.
But our top story of the day today, the Phoenix Suns. A very impressive win last night over a very good Miami Heat team. Maybe not the same team that was good enough to get to the NBA Finals last year, but that was, I mentioned it earlier, for me, that was one of my favorite wins of the season because Book was really not very good at all. Chris Paul didn't contribute much. Mikal Bridges didn't score. They were sloppy with the basketball, and they still crushed that team by 20 last night thanks to their bench and thanks to this guy.
And Adebayo will swing it over on the side to Jimmy Butler. He's their leading scorer. He's their go-to guy when it gets down to crunch time. He'll drive into the lane. His shot's rejected. Nice block by DeAndre Ayton.
DeAndre Ayton was phenomenal again last night.
He was, and he's been consistent, and he's just, I mean, he's doing everything defensively that he always did, and he's finding out that, hey, you know what, I can contribute more offensively. And they're finding him, and it does seem like to me that they are trying to find him, that they are looking for those. It's such an easy basket when you can get that 2 feet. What did he shoot, 8 for 10 from the field?
Yeah, I believe
80%?
So.
Like, it's such a high percentage shot.
Yep,
He's hitting at an incredible rate. So when you could get that ball inside to him, there's a really good chance you're going to come away with 2 points.
And once again, in the second half, he was big. He was 3 of 4 from the floor. He had 8 points. I mean, the bench, if you're going for one takeaway from last night, it was the bench and how well they played. But DeAndre Ayton is so essential to how they're playing. Chris Paul last night, just gushing praise about Ayton.
D.A. been amazing these past few games, pretty much all season, but he's been a little bit more aggressive. The last, I don't know how many games, me and some of the guys were just talking about it in the locker room, and it's great to see. You know, he's a big, big part of our team, and anything that we're going to do going forward, he's the anchor of the defense. And then when he's aggressive offensively, it opens up everything. So we're going to keep leaning on him, and it's great to see.
Rim running, aggressive attacking the basket, aggressive post-up that demand attention. I saw this note. I sent this to you earlier. A guy I kind of trust on social media pointed out that Ayton and his 19 points last night, not one of his shots, not one, came outside of the restricted area. Everything inside, everything at the rim, everything is attack, attack, attack. This is exactly what we wanted. This is the version of him that we've been looking for, and he's been consistently playing at this level for a while now.
Because he's not fumbling the ball anywhere near the way he used to. These guys are more confident giving the ball.
Absolutely.
So more confident. Hey, I don't mind throwing it up for him. You even referred to one last night with a Chris Paul like alley-oop, but he kind of fumbled it and went off the backboard. I think it went out of bounds, and where he was, you know, it was like, okay.
Well, everybody was kind of laughing about it.
And it doesn't happen that much anymore.
You can afford to laugh at it when it's a rarity, right? I mean, you can laugh at it now because, now you feel a lot better about him catching those things. Now, we had James Jones on today, and he's like still looking for consistency, still looking for more. Is Ayton playing up to the level you were hoping for?
He's getting there. I'm excited and thrilled, encouraged by his consistency and his impact. He's been extremely impactful on both sides of the ball, especially recently. And I think you start to see when he figures it out, when he finds his place in the offense, it comes effortlessly. But, you know, his defense of impact, you know, his activity, it fuels our team. And I expect that as he continues to have more and more success, you'll see him improve, because that's, you know, that's his arc. And for us to be a good team, he knows we need him to be that type of player.
Have you noticed what's not happening? No one's talking about trading him.
Nope.
Nobody's talking about what you can get for him. Nobody's...
Carl Anthony Towns. Let's get rid of him for Carl Anthony Towns. Let's get rid of him for this guy. Get rid of him for that guy. I mean, it was just...
Nobody's having that conversation anymore.
It's very, very frustrating, you know, to me, you know, to hear everybody talk about that. Because they just, like, you do have to show some patience with this guy. I had to try to find a tweet that somebody sent me earlier about DeAndre Ayton because I thought it was a good one. But it's just, it really is. It's about, you got to show some patience and give this kid time to develop. You don't want to trade a kid at 22 years old with all this potential, all this incredible potential to be a rock star player. Like, he's really, really good. Like, he's one of the top centers in the league right now, and he's only getting better. So, I've just, you know me, I never bought it. I'm a DA fan, but I also believe in patience, that this kid's going to be get better and better and better as the years and the games go by.
The return of Zach Gallen was a silver lining to the Arizona Diamondbacks' loss yesterday. Is that a phrase that we're going to be saying a lot this year for the Diamondbacks? Silver linings coming out of losses? Maybe something we should all be preparing ourselves for, and we'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
It's a good moment for this team and this organization. You know, you hear the news that he has a fracture in his arm. You obviously anticipate the worst, but Zach did a great job. The medical team did a great job. Everybody around him did a great job of getting back on the field and watching him compete. And, you know, for him to step into this environment and make pitches even though he pitched into the fifth inning, giving up only one run and make quality pitches all day long. It was good for all of us to see, and especially him. I know he's probably very pleased.
Two-part question for you, Gambo.
Yeah.
As we welcome everybody back into the Burns and Gambo show on this Wednesday afternoon. Question one, what was the bigger story yesterday for the Diamondbacks, the return of Zach Gallen or the fact that they lost? And question number two, if the answer is the return of Zach Gallen, is that how it's going to be for most of the rest of the year when it comes to how we look at the Arizona Diamondbacks? Silver linings as opposed to wins and losses? Two-part question.
I think the return of Zach Gallen is the most important thing, because you're not going to win a lot of baseball games without him. You need him to win baseball games. There's never been the feeling that this team was going to win a lot of baseball games the way it was constructed. We just didn't. You know, the Padres are better. The Dodgers are better. And they'll battle for the third best record. 3, 4, and 5 will go to the Diamondbacks and Colorado and the Giants. We just don't know in what order. I mean, Colorado's not a very good team, but they did beat Arizona 2 out of 3. I think you're looking for, you know, you're looking for the silver linings. I mean, when the Suns weren't any good, it was like, hey, at least they got Devin Booker. They got to get, you know, for the Diamondbacks, it might be, hey, they're not that good, but they got Zach Gallen. They got Ketel Marte when Marte comes back. So Marte, no timetable. I checked on Marte today. No timetable for his return.
Okay.
They don't want to put a timetable on that, but he's doing some activities,
okay,
which I think is a good thing.
Okay.
But they don't want to put a timetable on when he's going to be back, because I did check on that today. Because I checked on him, and I checked on Clipper and Soria and Davinsky as well. So Soria is the closest. He's 2 weeks away. No idea with Davinsky. It's a personal issue is why he left the team. And Clipper, that's 6 weeks. He was going to be reevaluated in 6 weeks, so he's the furthest away. So that's the update on where they are with players. I think we're looking for silver linings all year long, man. I think we're looking to see, you know, Martin come up and Bukauskas come up and other guys, and hoping that Carson Kelly has a good year and reestablishes himself, and Luke Weaver has a good year and reestablishes himself. And then you're hoping that some of these other guys get hot that you could trade them. Eduardo Escobar, David Peralta.
Right.
Can you trade any of these guys? Can you get any assets, younger assets for them, just to see what happens? I mean, remember this. I mean, Fernando Tatis got traded at like 17 years old. You know, they didn't know what they were trading.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was 17 or 18 when he got traded. So sometimes it's good to have those assets and just make a trade for young players.
Not quite sure what you've... Well, I mean, did they know who Ketel Marte was going to be when they stumbled
when
on Ketel Marte?
From Seattle. We did not know.
I mean, they might have had a hope, but they couldn't have possibly known he was going to be
Taiwan
like
Walker was the big name in that
right,
trade.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was Taiwan Walker.
The genesis of this whole conversation was this story that Zach Buchanan wrote on The Athletic, and the line is kind of what got us both thinking. He was writing about yesterday's game and Zach Gallen's 8 strikeouts in 4 innings. He walked a couple. He gave up 3 hits. He was good. He was really for not throwing a baseball in 3 weeks, competitively speaking, he looked really, really good. And Zach wrote, the Diamondbacks may be a team rapidly becoming practiced at finding silver linings and polishing them until they outshine anything more distressing. The return of the ace surely represents the best news the team has received all season. In other words, yeah, they lost. Their bullpen blew it. Yeah, they got swept by the A's in a two-game series. And yeah, they're 4-8. But boy, Zach Gallen looked good.
He looked good.
Or to your point, J.B. Bukauskas. I mean, with what's going on in the bullpen right now.
He might be close. Yeah, there is definitely conversations about whether he should be brought up. Because remember, you're without your 7th, 8th, and 9th inning guy right now. And you know how long you're going to be without those guys. Soria is still 2 weeks away. He's throwing right now, but he's still a couple of weeks away. J.B. Bukauskas is probably, I think he's going to come up. He's definitely going to come up this year, but I think it might be sooner rather than later.
Okay, and that's a silver lining.
Yes.
Corbin Martin, when he makes his debut, I would assume at some point this season, that's a silver lining. We look forward to that because he's a highly talked about, highly anticipated piece of that Zach Greinke trade. I know we'd all rather it have the other way. Right, we'd all rather have a team that's like the Dodgers or like the Padres is going to win a bunch of games. I don't know if it's going to be that kind of year for the Arizona Diamondbacks this year. Right, I just don't. It Ketel Marte, he's a silver lining in all of this. He's hurt now, but before he got injured, boy, he sure looked like Ketel Marte from 2019, didn't he?
Yes,
he sure looked like that guy.
That was one of the bigger debates that we had going into the season. I think was Ketel Marte. Was that season a fluke?
Right.
Or was it not? I mean, is he really a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy?
Yeah.
Or is he a guy that's going to hit you 10 home runs? Which one is he? Now, I think he's one of the best young players in baseball. That's me. I thought that. You had some reservations
about
whether
he was going to take a step back.
He was going to do it.
I did have some reservations about whether he was going to be that kind of player. I'll be honest with you. I didn't really think he was. Just looking at his career, I just didn't think the kind of power he flashed in 2019 was really who Ketel Marte was, but he was off to a good start to prove everybody wrong who thought that. I think the other thing, too, is, okay, it's not just about young kids coming up, and it's not about Zach Gallen, and it's not about Ketel Marte. It's about Eduardo Escobar having a really nice first half of the season so you can dangle him in a trade.
Yep.
It's about David Peralta having a nice first half of the season so you can dangle him in a trade.
Yeah, the guys that I look at and I say these guys could be traded is the number one is Peralta and Escobar. Those guys are available if somebody wants to trade for him. Then you look at a guy like Asdrubal Cabrera. Not going to get a lot for him because of his age, but he's a veteran player that could help a team off the bench. You look at Tim LaCastro with his speed. I could trade Tim LaCastro. I could trade Cole Calhoun. I mean, if the package I'm getting back is good young prospects, Calhoun's a good left-handed power bat. Maybe somebody would take on Cole Calhoun with that. He's got a 3-year contract, 4-year contract?
I thought it was a 2-year deal. I think this is the final year of his deal.
So was it a 2-year deal?
I think it was a 2-year deal for Calhoun.
So somebody might take him. You're not going to get a lot back, but you could do that. Now, starting pitching-wise, you're not trading Gallen and you're not trading Weaver. I don't think you. I mean, Merrill Kelly. I like Merrill Kelly. I don't think you. So I just don't think there's a starting pitcher that you could trade. I don't know that they have a starting pitcher you could trade.
Well, let me think.
If any of these bullpen guys pitch well, you could always trade a Soria if he comes back and pitches well.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get a ton. You know, going to get a ton for any of these
bullpen guys.
There's
always bullpen guys that move.
The name that intrigues me the most, honestly, is one you didn't mention. That's Nick Ahmed. In terms of trading.
And he's on the list, for sure.
I mean, just because last year notwithstanding, he's a premier defensive shortstop who can certainly hit well enough in this league that you can survive with him in your lineup every single day. And given that he's under control for the next few years with that extension he signed, there are some really premier free agents at the shortstop position that are going to be available this offseason. And if you don't want to go paying big bucks for one of those guys, you might look at a Nick Ahmed and say, for about half the cost, a third of the cost, a quarter of the cost, an eighth of the cost. We can have a guy like Nick Ahmed on our roster. That might make him very appealing to somebody who doesn't want to go spend a lot of money on a shortstop in the offseason.
You got Rojas and Perdomo, but I think, you know, it would have to be a really good package back to say, okay, well, because Nick Ahmed could be your shortstop for the next few years.
Yeah.
You know, he could easily be your shortstop. You don't have to worry about it. You better make sure you have a guy, you know, that's ready to play. But that's why you got to give these guys some opportunities, Rojas and Perdomo, to see if any of these guys are capable of doing it.
Yeah, I was just looking up Cole Calhoun's contract. I think it was a 2-year deal. I'm scrolling down here. Hold on, you caught me off guard, Gambo. His contract expires at 2 years. Yeah, team option for next year at $9 million or a $2 million buyout.
Okay, so that's great for whatever team trades for him. You can keep him for $9 million.
You can keep him for $9 million. You can buy him out for two if you want to. Yeah, and you know, now if all these guys start playing well, maybe they do better than we expected. But at this point, it does seem more about the silver linings than it does about the wins.
They just got swept by the A's. It's April, and you know they're off to a bad start. And you start to think about what possibilities exist. Now, hopefully, they, with Weaver pitching well and Gallen pitching well, they'll come around. They'll start winning some games and some series and find themselves in contention. But even still, I still think that the trade deadline is going to be a busy week for them.
We are now just over 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. And as we get closer, there is a player that is making more and more sense for the Cardinals at 16. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Time to update our Twitter poll question of the day.
Let's update it.
Turn it back
Sanderson
over.
Sanderson Ford.
Sarah Cazell here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
2 weeks and 1 day away from the NFL draft.
Oh, boy.
I know,
it's coming.
Right? It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
2 weeks and a day.
2 weeks and a
day. How did that happen?
I don't know. Hey, you know what? The local basketball team is good and time flies. What can you say about it, right?
That must be it. We're not just like tick-tock.
Just 4 weeks away from the first 110-degree day.
Boy,
you're a real negative thinker, man. Come on.
As we get closer through these things, I think about that. I think about how hot it's going to get.
So while we work on Gambo's power of positive thinking, which he clearly sucks at.
Good luck.
Yeah. Sarah, why don't you update everybody on that Twitter poll question?
Yes. So after multiple mock drafts have projected the Cardinals over the last several months, taking what we'll call flashy positions, exciting positions like cornerback or receiver or one tight end in particular. Mm. Would you be disappointed if the Cardinals did an about face, at least from what these mock drafts say, and took, no offense to O-linemen, but we'll say maybe a less sexy position? Took an O-lineman in the first round instead. Would that be okay with you, or would you be disappointed?
I know a lot of offensive linemen who would object to be called.
Oh, I know. I'm going to get a text from Dale Hellestray in a second. It's not important, the flash.
Yeah, no, exactly what you mean. I would not be bothered by it at all.
I'm not bothered by it at all either. I'm all for it, matter of fact. Build with your lines. Not be upset at all. I think there's a good chance that Vera Tucker is the pick at 16. If a few things happen and guys aren't there that I'm expecting not to be there, I think that's a real option for them.
All right.
Okay.
We'll talk about that coming up. But what are the results so far?
Yes. So the question, would you be disappointed if they took an O-lineman? 69% of our voters are with you guys. They say no, they would not be disappointed if the Cardinals took an O-lineman. 31% said yes, they would be.
Good. I think that's a
smart group of fans listening.
I think that's a good smart number right there. It is, because it's you know, if it's not sexy, and it is putting, you know, drafting an offensive lineman is like eating your broccoli off your plate before you're allowed a bowl of ice cream, right? Some people do like to go right for the bowl of ice cream, but drafting offensive linemen high, especially guys like Elijah Vera Tucker, who are thought of so well and are so highly regarded, it's smart. I mean, the Costco analogy, it's the one I've used all the time, man. There's a reason why they put the TVs in the front of Costco and the chicken and the ground beef at the back of Costco. They got to make you walk through the flashy stuff, you know, before you get the stuff you're actually there for. Offensive linemen are like the frozen chicken and the ground beef in the back of the Costco. Sometimes you gotta close your eyes and walk through all the cool TVs and the Sonos sound systems to get to the back, which is what you're there for. Sometimes drafting an offensive lineman, that's what that is.
And is it possible to go to Costco and not pick out anything that you weren't planning on getting?
No.
I don't think it is either.
No.
It is absolutely.
I think it's humanly impossible.
You're not a human. If
I'm going into Costco, I need to get these five things. I need paper towels. I need... You know, these five, and then there's no way you just come out with those five things. It's impossible.
60-pack of fruit roll-ups.
Of course. You're a cyborg.
A citrus tree.
Yeah, someone I know got a citrus tree that wasn't planned on the initial Costco trip They ended up with a citrus tree.
You're walking by. What? Hey, would you like to feel these sheets? Oh, those are really nice. They're on sale. $139.99 for the queen's king size sheet.
What do you do with an unplanned for tree? How do you accommodate that?
You dig a hole and you water it and you grow it.
I just give mine to Mr. Miyagi.
What?
Huh?
Mr. Miyagi with
the tree.
He could prune the tree. It's exactly perfect.
Wow. Went over my hand, sorry.
You didn't watch the Karate Kid.
Karate Kid reference, yeah. All right, so Costco jokes aside, and no, it's not possible for you to walk into Costco and just get what you're there for. You always have to get something fun when you go to Costco, hence the brilliance of Costco.
You're walking out, you're like, hey, where else can you get a hot dog and a drink for like $1.25? Are you seriously?
Those berry slushies?
The berry sundaes?
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Come on.
The Costco slice of pizza? Oh, doctor.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Okay. Oh, doctor.
A hot dog with sauerkraut for $1.
Oh, doctor. The Costco slice of pizza is just...
Costco, if you're listening, can you sponsor the Burns and Gambo show?
Or at least send us a pizza, right? Because, oh, man, they're just a big slice of pizza. It's so good. It really is. It's really, really good. Okay, what are we talking about here? Oh, yeah, we're talking about the draft, and we're talking about the Cardinals and what they're going to do. And this possibility that exists that the two cornerbacks they like are gone in J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain, and the third maybe starts to slip, Caleb Farley, because of the back injury. Greg Newsome, for those who weren't tuned in listening to this, the Northwestern cornerback who is seen by some as the fourth best guy, you say no, not at 16 at least.
It's the Cardinals would not take him at 16, Newsome. Would they take him later if they move down? Possibly. But do I see the Cardinals taking him at 16? I'm going to say no. I don't see them taking him at 16. I don't see them taking any of the Miami pass rushers at 16. Those two guys are rated very highly, but I don't see them taking Rousseau, who's the other one, Phillips. I don't see them taking either one of those guys at 16. And, you know, the guy I'm really leery on is Farley. I just don't know that they would take Caleb Farley at 16. I don't want to rule it out completely, but I have my doubts that they would take Farley at 16. So, I look at the offensive linemen. I look at the wide receivers. I look at some of these other positions. I mean, could they take a running back there? Could they take a wide receiver? Could they take an offensive lineman? I think Vera Tuck is in a great spot right there at 16. Might be hard to pass up if you're the Arizona Cardinals. You know, if Justin Pugh is only got a year left with the Cardinals, that's a guy that could come in and replace Justin Pugh. He's a solid, solid offensive guard and one of the best offensive linemen in the whole draft.
Yeah, it's a scenario, and granted, it's a scenario that's based off of mock drafts, which I know is a real dangerous proposition, so I'm not going to try to make a habit out of it, but it's a scenario that I keep seeing time and time again in these mock drafts. I mean, the more I look at these, the more I keep seeing this pop up. J.C. Horn is gone. Patrick Surtain is gone. Caleb Farley is available, but he's slipping. Greg Newsome is available, but he's a little bit of a reach. And it sort of feels like the key to all of this for me are the three wide receivers. Okay, now Ja'Marr Chase is going to be way gone by the time the Cardinals pick at number 16.
Waddle and Smith,
there is at least an idea out there floating around that one of those guys might be available at 16. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I do wonder if the two cornerbacks are gone and the Cardinals don't like a third at 16 because of injury or whatever, is it going to come down to a choice of Elijah Vera Tucker if he's there or one of the wide receivers if they slip because they just don't like Farley that high, they don't trust Farley that high, and they don't think Newsome at 16 is a good fit? Do you end up choosing between the offensive lineman or one of those two wide receivers if they're there?
Yes.
Is that the choice?
Yes.
You think so?
I think so. Because I'm ruling out the Miami defensive lineman, and there's not another offensive lineman that I'm putting ahead of Tucker at that spot if he's there. Now, the running backs, I know, you know, you got Harris and Etienne. Would they go running back? I don't think they would go running back at 16, but I'm not ready to rule that out yet either. I just don't know. But the wide receivers and the offensive linemen both make a lot of sense. Both of those, if one of those three drops, then you're talking about the decision between a top three wide receiver and a top three offensive lineman.
Yeah. Based off of mocks, one thing that seems pretty clear so far is that because of this back injury, Caleb Farley is going to be the one who's going to fall. You know, that seems to be the theme that I'm seeing in these mocks. And again, not the most reliable source of information, I'll acknowledge that. But based off of that, that's the one theme I've really noticed the last week. Farley is the one who's dropping. Farley is the cornerback the Cardinals would need to choose if they're going to go cornerback at number 16, unless they want to take Newsome, which you say you don't think they're going to do.
I don't think they'll take Newsome at 16. And Farley's a, I just think it's a high risk. I don't know that they would make that much of a risk on a guy with the ACL injury, the back injury, another back injury. I think that you'd have to pass on him. I think you would pay. You may like him, but I think you'd have to pass on him because you're trying to win now and you need help right now.
Yep. Real quick, the details of James Conner's contract were learned today, exactly as we would have expected. A 1-year deal, $1.75 million, $500,000 signing bonus, $1.25 million fully guaranteed salary is what you're on the hook for with James Conner.
Listen, I like it. I mean, you're not spending a lot of money. They got some guys coming in here on 1-year deals that. Veterans that want to play and prove it to themselves. I mean, AJ Green's a 1-year deal, and you've got this player Connor on a 1-year deal. I think you got a couple others on 1-year deals, and you just got a is Malcolm Butler. I think he's got 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah,
Malcolm's just going through it in my head right now. JJ Watt's a 2-year guy. Hudson obviously is for a few more years now with the redoing of his contract. But you got some key 1-year guys, and these guys, Connor's, he's young. He's going to want to play in this league for 5-6 more years, so he's going to go out there and give you everything he has. He's a solid player. If he's healthy, he could definitely help this football team.
Yeah. U of A basketball now has a new head coach. Will his hire alienate those in the program who wanted them to hire somebody with ties to the program? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. U of A has made it official when it comes to their men's basketball program. It is going to be Tommy Lloyd, the assistant coach out of Gonzaga, who was one of the three main names that had been mentioned for the job the most. I think the others were Damon Stoudemire and Josh Pastner. Those are the three names that I think came up the most. They also talked to Miles Simon. There was some talk about the BYU coach, Mark Pope, maybe him. But at the end of the day, it was Tommy Lloyd. He was the coach in waiting at Gonzaga, and he got tired of waiting for Mark Few to not be there anymore. He was long thought to be the guy who would eventually replace him, and he decided to take this job instead. It's getting a lot of flack because he's not been a head coach at this level. He's quote-unquote just an assistant. He wasn't a head coach at a mid-major. They didn't go pluck a big-name coach from another program or anything like that. Here's Jeff Goodman, college basketball insider from the Stadium, and I do believe U of A alum, right? I think he was the one who broke the story that Sean Miller got fired. Listen to him rattle off the names of some of the guys, Gambo, they tried to get and they couldn't, which kind of paints a somewhat unflattering picture here.
A lot of people are going to shake their heads about how do you hire an assistant coach to Arizona. Part of the reason is Arizona couldn't get a big-time guy. They tried for the Brad Stevenses of the world, the Tony Bennetts, the Mark Fews, even the Matt Painters, but they came up short. Eric Musselman decided to take more money and stay in Arkansas. So with the program the way it is right now, potentially facing another year of postseason ban, this is what Arizona was dealing with.
Did he mention Brad Stevens?
He did. Because Indiana took a swing at Brad Stevens, didn't they? I think there was.
They did, because at one point in time he said that would be his dream
job. Yeah. Wow. I remember. I remember when the Indiana job came open. Brad Stevens had to say like three or four. I'm not taking the Indiana job, guys. I know what I said 6 years ago. I'm not taking
Brad
the Indiana
Stevens
job.
And Matt Painter are two names that I don't think we have heard yet before that Jeff Goodman.
Purdue coach. He's really good. Matt Painter.
Yeah, but that's the kind of coach that you would think, perfect world scenario, that a program like U of A attracts, right? They go, oh, my God, it's U of A. Of course I'm going to go take that job.
I'm shocked to hear that because they couldn't get anybody. It's one of the best jobs in the country. Like, I don't care what anybody says. I'll take that to the grave. That's one of the best jobs in the country. They sell out every freaking game.
Mm-hmm.
They got a rabid fan base. They're the only ticket in town. They've won a national championship. They've been to another national championship. They've been to Final Fours. They've been to Elite Eights. Like, they've been to Sweet 16s. They've got 100 guys in the NBA right now. It's one of the best jobs in college basketball. I can't imagine it. You wouldn't want that job unless the only thing that you'd look at is just like, you know, how badly is it tainted now because of Sean Miller?
Well, and like Goodman said, there is still the possibility of more sanctions coming down or punishment coming down. We don't know that this is the end of it. So I don't know if you're taking a new job, like that's got to be something you consider.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is that it is still, I don't know, it's a big job, but because there's a cloud hanging over it, guys might be a little hesitant to go after that gig. And obviously, Gambo, I feel the same way about U of A basketball as you, and yet nobody took that job. You know, and yet a guy like Eric Musselman, on the surface, you would say Arkansas versus U of A, which basketball job would you rather have?
U of A.
And yet he stayed at Arkansas and got a raise to do it, right?
Yeah, I paid him like $4 million a year.
Well,
Paid him $4 million a year.
Okay, U of A could have paid him $4 million a year. Why didn't U of A pay him that? I mean, why didn't you? Okay, pony up, pay him. You want an elite coach? Go get a guy like that.
I mean, could they be in a tough spot because of the buyouts of Rich Rod?
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure financially. I'm sure financially they're in tough straits right now. But if you're basing your entire budget around how you do in men's basketball, you got to spend to make. You know, you got to spend some to make some if you're U of A. So go get that guy. But he would have. All the evidence that we grew up with about U of A basketball paints a picture of an elite program. All the evidence that we're seeing right now says the job right now today is not as elite as we would think because they didn't get that elite established head coach to take the job. Didn't happen.
Top recruits, are they going to want to play for the Gonzaga assistant? I don't know. Maybe he's good. Maybe he's good. Got to give him a chance. I don't know.
Well, here's what he's going to do.
I would have thought they could have landed many of the good sitting coaches that are out there because it's U of A.
Here's what they're going to do because this is what Tommy Lloyd did at Gonzaga. He recruited the heck out of the international scene.
Yes.
And I would imagine he's going to tap back into that. Big Sabonis. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on.
Shevin Karnowski.
Mm-hmm. Of guys that internationally he recruited. Jeff Goodman, again, called Lloyd an elite recruiter.
Tommy Lloyd's a guy who's recruited at a high level internationally. He's got a ton of good players that have come through Spokane. He's also recruited transfers like Andrew Nembhard. He also helped bring in Hunter Salas, a top 10 player coming in next season to Spokane. So this is a guy that can recruit.
It's weird, Gambo. I kind of feel like we've been through this through one version or another following ASU for as long as we have. You mentioned the Danny White thing the other day. When there was, was it before or after Dirk? I can't remember. But whenever that job was open.
After Bruce.
Was it after Bruce when the fan base wanted Danny White to be the head coach of ASU football?
For the next three openings.
All right, so we've experienced the fan base calling for an alum of the program, right? A guy who's got it in his blood. We've experienced that. We've experienced backlash over a hire and the program decided not to hire the guy, a.k.a. June Jones, right? We've experienced that with ASU. And we've experienced backlash over hiring Herm Edwards, and that worked out great.
We had a mutiny over the hiring of John Makovic.
Right.
You had the mutiny.
You did have that.
The mutiny.
Yep. I mean, so we've experienced this. And so a guy like Tommy Lloyd, we're seeing all these alumni coming out and saying, you know, Gilbert Arenas. When he was on a podcast, Instagram video with Richard Jefferson.
Who would you pick for the Arizona coach?
Damon Stoudemire.
Damon Stoudemire. Why Damon Stoudemire?
I mean, he's been coaching for a while now. He's established himself. You know, he's turned the whole program around, you know, where he went. So, I mean, he has the credentials. You know, an assistant coach doesn't have credentials.
Shout out to my, you talking about Tommy Lloyd, the coach from Gonzaga?
I don't even want to say his name because he doesn't deserve it. You're an assistant coach, okay? You assist.
Not anymore.
Does he talk to Miles Simon that way? I just want to know.
Yeah, because Miles Simon is an assistant coach.
Yeah,
you assist.
You assist.
You assist. That's all you do. I mean, is Damon Stoudemire really that great of a candidate to get one good year at Pacific?
I mean, he's decent. He's one of the great players in the history of the program. You would have tons of booster support for him. He went to a Final Four, him and Khalid Reeves. I mean, he's one of the great players in the history of that program. And he's had some success the last couple of years at Pacific.
Yeah.
But he's kind of earned his dues too, right? I mean, he's coaching and he's ready for that next step. That next step may be more of a mid-major than, a Pac-12 power.
Right.
You can make that argument.
I mean, look, for me, and I got very little skin in this game. For me, I'd rather take the guy who was a part of one of the dominant college basketball programs for the last 20 years, even as an assistant, as Gilbert Arenas says. I'd rather have that guy over the guy who had one good year at Pacific or two good years at Pacific. That to me is not a good enough resume to say, okay, here are the keys to the U of A kingdom. Go get them. I'd rather have the assistant who was part of the great program for 20 years. That's just me. I think he's got a better resume. Got a better resume than Damon Stoudemire.
Yeah, listen, you can make that argument. I mean, the fan base is probably not going to like it because he's not a U of A. You would think a program like that has all the U of A guys, right? And, you know, who took over at North Carolina?
Hubert Davis.
What was Hubert Davis? He was a Tar Heel.
Yeah, but he was also an assistant. He assisted.
But he was a Tar Heel.
But he was an assistant. Yes. He assisted.
But they gave it like he's a Tar Heel. Like he is.
Gamble, for the record, I've just all the Wildcats that I follow and interact with on Twitter, it is overwhelmingly positive right now.
Oh, good.
Even though it wasn't an alum.
I mean, that's good. I want that program to do well. I mean, I really do. That program needs to do well for the Pac-12
Are you saying you'd rather have the alum, the guy who went to the program, versus a guy like Tommy Lloyd? I mean, would that have been your choice when it was all said and done?
I thought Stoudemire was a good candidate. I don't know enough about Lloyd to say.
Okay.
I mean, I think 20 years at Gonzaga, he's recruited internationally. He knows what it takes to recruit the top kids in the country. He knows what it takes to coach the top kids in the country. He's seen many guys go to the pros. I don't think it's a bad hire. The alumni seem to want their own guy, but I wasn't against Stoudemire either. I think Stoudemire's earned a chance to be a coach.
Many of the critics of the Phoenix Suns believe that there is something just missing on this roster. Maybe that missing piece is a what and not a who. We'll get to the bottom of it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.